The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
So the young guy on it that was on the under-20s last year, he turned around to me halfway through the game because you're too old. I was like...
he was backing it. You're his coach.
Tell me you dropped him.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetSetGo.ie.
Welcome back to OTBAM. Time to turn our attention to hurling. We've got two big quarterfinals this weekend. Dublin against Cork in Semple Stadium and Tipperary against Waterford in Parky Cueve. Both of those games happening on Saturday. The big hurling news though this week is that Joe Canning has retired from inter-county hurling, and his former teammate James Cahill is with us this morning. James, good morning to you.
Hi, Owen. How are things?
Yeah, good. So, did you see this coming in the end? I know you were with us on Saturday saying that maybe it was time for Joe to go, but I guess the couple of days were left, and obviously there was the interview here on OTBAM yesterday morning where we perhaps suspected that maybe he might just hang on and maybe think it over a little bit longer and come back for one last hurrah.
Yeah, well, when I spoke on Saturday, I was expecting, you know, a couple of terms out of the Galway camp, and I didn't exactly outline who, but... You know, obviously the media, the way things are, like they'd focus in on him being with his age and whatnot and what he's done in the game and so far. But I didn't expect it so, I would say, soon after the game. I thought there maybe that anyone who's making a decision would go through a club campaign and maybe make it in the winter. But, you know, he's always been his own man. He's always been quite measured in what he's done on and off the pitch, let's say. So when he came out with the news yesterday, I understood he'd be very content in his decision and happy in the decision he made.
How big a loss immediately is he going to be to Galway?
That's actually, you know, that's even too hard to quantify, to be honest, Owen, because, you know, you never really get the true sense of greatness until it's gone. Like, you know, and like, you know, when other inter-county players retire across the country, you feel nothing. But then when one of your own retires and he's been as good and as charismatic as he's been, it nearly feels like a death. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to over-exaggerate that, but... You know, he's an terribly important, difficult individual to replace. You can't. There's no individual in Galway that's going to replace him. That's just a fact. And there's no one that's coming anytime soon that's going to replace him as an individual. You know, I think it's going to be very difficult to get that kind of effort, work ethic, skill, you know, excellence, big scores. It's not there at the moment to say. So I think the Galway team is going to need time to rejuvenate. But he himself, like his talents, you have to understand, right, that his talents were so good at a young age that the man was under such pressure to perform, you know, early days, like when he was seen at 15 and 16. And for him to perform consistently under the scrutiny of the public and the Galway public, especially hurling people, so he performed consistently and under extreme excellence the whole time, has been remarkable. You know, if any young player goes into a team one, I think usually he needs his time to develop and to really be allowed to make errors. But he never got that opportunity. You know, he was expected to be scored in 110 and 112 every day he went out. And that was none more so evident in his debut. Not his debut, but his big debut game, which was against Cork in 08. And he had 19, you know, scored in 212. If someone did that nowadays, you know, I think the media would lose their mind entirely. You know, so it's very hard to get a measure of the person that, say, he's lost to a team until you actually start a new campaign. But, like, it's going to be a very, very huge void, a huge void for Galway to fill.
You were playing that day in 08, I assume, James, were you?
Yeah, I was, yeah. I was. And again, it was just in real time. Like, see, I suppose at that stage, I was playing with him for, you know, 6 or 7 years. I can't really remember, but I wasn't really too surprised, you know, what he was able to execute. But what really surprised me was that he was able to execute on a certain type of people he was marking. Like, people would forget he was marking the rock, caught a ball over his head, out-muscled him for a goal, split the rock open, you know, and roofed, you know, and that was huge. Then he went on John Gardner and took John Gardner for a run around Turles, you know. So it wasn't that he just executed, like, the skills of the game and everything that you want to see in a game on a nobody. Like, he executed on two of the best Cork defenders ever, you know, and that was huge. And he really announced himself on the scene. And probably, I think, if I'm honest, I think going, it probably set him up for a difficult, you know, I would say, career in the immediate aftermath of that game, because that was nearly the expectancy for every day when he went out, you know, even though that's an impossibility. You know, how do you expect a young fella to score 212 every day against top-tier opposition? But he would always strive to do so, you know. Like, I'm a big fan of the NFL, and Bill Belichick was the coach of the Patriots. He said, you know, talent sets the floor, but you know, the character sets the ceiling, and he had great character, you know, to perform in big games. You know, he never went missing. Like, yeah, I can tell you for sure, there's no guy person or no person across the hurling world that say that lad went missing on a big game. That's the last thing he did. He always showed up and got Galway through, and like, only for him in specifically 2017 to be no Ireland for anyone, because that wonder score he got. And you know, he deserves enormous credit, and I hope he's happy in his decision, and that he can have happy retirement.
It's like, we've been chatting to Niall O'Toole about Sneada Puspura there a moment ago, and he was just outlining how brutal top level sport is. And when you look around at some of maybe the heartbreak that certain counties have had in hurling over the last 10-15 years, you can put hurling right in that bracket as well as a truly brutal sport at an inter-county level. Even when you look around the country at the moment, and even on Saturday alone, you'd Canning and you'd Patrick Horgan and you'd Tony Kelly, all guns blazing, and thinking to yourself, like, I mean, all three of these are likely to not win the All-Ireland this year, because Limerick are, chances are, going to be All-Ireland champions once again. That talent and that commitment doesn't guarantee you anything. And it might be some mild comfort, though, to people that at least there's 2017, because in such a brutal sport, it could so easily have been a career without any All-Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. It's the sport that can be influenced by one man or can't be dominated by one man, you know. And that's why the Kilkenny teams of the previous years, you know, their team was so dominant and their management team was so dominant, and they were just so ahead of the curve that they got so many in Ireland. And, you know, I mentioned yesterday to someone that, you know, Joe, for me, is the best hurler ever in the history of the game. I don't care what anybody says. He's the best hurler ever. And I would hope that the team accolades don't, you know, outweigh his strength in that conversation, because, like, obviously Henry Shetland and the likes have, you know, tinner Ireland, but it was the fact that when you're talking simple individual terms, Joe was the best ever. He was the best hurler ever, and that'll never go undoubted in my mind. But like that, I just don't think the supporting cast around him, me included, were I suppose good enough as a collective to get him over the line more than once. But I think that one at Ireland on would be huge for him, for his legacy, and just to know that all the efforts that went in throughout the years, you know, culminated in a victory. Albeit we got one, but still the fact is we got one, and one is huge in comparison to none.
James, good morning. You've touched on it there a couple of times, just about his influence in the team. It's hard to say it about the 2017 team necessarily, but over the years, looking at Joe from the outside looking in, carrying Galway on days, were there days in your position where you were looking out the pitch going, we're not on it today, and geez, we really hope that this guy has one of his games and he can carry us over the line?
100%, yeah. There's been days, that started off with my very early days with him, like when we were 14. You know, it's like, where's the red helmet? You know, and just puck it down there and see what happens. You know, there was some days, it wasn't just at senior either. Like, there was days we had, let me see now, an under-21 game we played Clare in 2009. And it was just simply, you know, I had 14 teammates, but I was only looking for one. And where is he? With every ball that we had to hit out, I was looking for him. And he ended up scoring 4-7 with, you know, 21s, penalties, overhead flicks, overhead pulls. You know, he was just awesome. Like, and his influence over the team is huge. And, like, you'd always hope that he'd get into the game early and kind of settle early, you know, not maybe get a handy free, you know what I mean? Just get something on the board so that he could take off, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he'd nearly carry it, because you'd be, and I said it there a minute ago, I won't say questioning the supporting cast, but like, when you've got a talent as high as Joe is, and then the people around him aren't quite as high, you're going to look for him every time and hope that he carries it through. You know, and that's another point I made about the Kilkenny side of things, is like, Shefflin has massive supporting talent around him, you know, not at the same level as Shefflin, but very, very close, you know what I mean? So it was easier for Kilkenny to find a balance in those big games, where for us, going back through the years, you know, I won't say Joe was on his own, but God, he was given the mantle of having to carry that team. And he did it well, in fairness to him.
Can I ask you on that point then, just it raises an interesting question, because he spoke to the lads yesterday, obviously before he announced his retirement, about the injuries, and the niggles was the word that he used, that had sort of maybe taken his toll a little bit on him. He's only 32. You bowed out of the game yourself, I think, at the same age, not that long ago. Do you think if he was at like a Kilkenny or a Limerick at the minute, or one of those teams that are competing for sort of regularly, that he might have put the niggles and that stuff in his back pocket, but the thoughts of the slog and the carrying of the team for another 12 or 24 months were sort of too much for him?
No, I don't think so. I disagree there, because again, you have to understand the character of the person, and you know, he was always team first, despite what anyone might think about, you know, the personal accolades and whatnot and scoring records. That I don't think that ever weighed in his mind. I always think he was team first. And if he was going to come back, he'd be all in or all out, you know. And I don't even think he'd look at Galway's, I suppose, position, if you like to call it, in the hurling world at the moment, and let that weigh his decision. I would think that if he was able to offer something positive to the team, he'd return, on the same capacity as at the minute. But again, like he mentioned himself about the injuries, like people have to understand that, you know, he's probably, as we speak right now, he's probably walking around or maybe in bed, I'm not sure, but he's probably in pain in some capacity. You know what I mean? And like that, he spent an awful lot of his career in pain through injuries and through niggles and through getting, like he received an awful lot of, even though people might like to highlight it, he did, like he received an awful lot of off the ball, excuse the pun, you know, how would I say, attention. You know what I mean? Whether that be
punishment almost, like, James, is that
yeah,
too
punishment,
much?
Exactly. It's really like, you know, it's really like a gladiator arena. Every time he went in, he was the focal point for every single defender. And then every defender, whether it be in a club game or inter-county game, would try and measure themselves off Joe. And the good guys, like the J.D. Delaney's or the Jackie Tyrrells, would try hurling, you know, to get a fair measure. But then you get some guys in other capacities or other teams that think that the best way to get a measure off him is to beat him. You know what I mean? And that, and like, he's more times that he's got knocks to hands, wrists, elbows, you know, all over the place, just through a sense of brutality. Like, so that goes back to my point that if he was going to come back with Bowler, like, he'd be all in, right? You know, maybe the body just probably suffered a bit more than it should have. You know what I mean? Because all the great players get different unnecessary attention because, you know, others aren't capable of marking them in the fairway. And I think that was a Joe received an awful lot of that. And especially when Portumna were going high, or flying high, should I say, throughout their club campaigns, you have clubs in Galway that try and knock them down a peg or two, if you get me, you know, metaphorically speaking. So I don't think if he was in a Kilkenny or a Limerick or a Cork or whatever you say, that he'd be going back, you know, straight away because of them. I just think that if he wasn't able to offer himself 100%, you know, that's why he would retire, in my opinion.
Yeah. Just two very quick ones for me, just on Joe, before we move it on. What is there? I was kind of asking that maybe on the basis of James Moore, that if the niggles sort of disappeared in 6 months or in 8 months, that at that still fairly young age, that we might see him again in a Galway shirt, or do you think that's there's no chance of that?
There's a chance. I can tell you, there's a chance for everything. Stranger things have happened. You know what I mean? I don't know is the honest answer. I'm a bit torn because, like, again, I said at the start of the show that he'd always be very measured, you know, and calculated in what he would do. And you know, if he's making a decision that this early after the game, and especially in the dressing room after the game, I think he would have mulled over, you know, quite a bit, and he would have been quite methodical in analysing that, you know, maybe if I do, you know, shake injuries, or if I do come to the club campaign fairly good and I shake everything, will I come back? And you know, I think he would have thought about that, you know. And I think he came to his decision content that wasn't going to be a possibility. But like, stranger things have happened. I don't know, Les. Like, it's just so hard to know. You know what I mean? If he does get, you know, a break, and a mental break, and that's the big thing, you know, get away from, you know, the sport, I suppose, the inter-county sport, and just take a break and, you know, recharge the batteries on a personal level, let's say, and get away, you know, mentally from the tolls of being an inter-county player. And maybe you wouldn't know. It could be a snowball effect. He could get a bit, you know, the bite could come back. You just don't know. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say no initially, but again, anything can happen.
Who knows? You trained with him for 20 years, I mean, between the underage grade and all the way up.
Yeah.
Because you were both starting most games, were you never sort of been peppered by shots from him, or were you generally, like, how did that work?
How do you mean?
Like, you know, when the teams were split up in training and you were both on the first team, that you would that he wouldn't necessarily then be firing in on you, or were you going to training every day taking 50 shots?
He fired in on me more times than once, you know. to give you the kind of an example of the power of his shot, like, you know, we had in Jarlath Nan's time, he brought in these baseball machines, you know, the main machines that throw out the baseballs. He brought in MLB, like, and so then the Oaks used to go up to 120 kilometers an hour, and you know, you'd have some chance to save them, you know. When Canning threw over a ball, so you just have to get out of the way. You know what I mean? Because it just came with such power. And he's caught me more than once, like, and in a few more private parts than I'd like, you know what I mean? But it was just the nature of it all throughout the years, you know. That, like, you'd always be facing off, and sure, always trying to best each other as best you could, you know what I mean? And sure, every time I lost. So that's kind of that was the nature of it all, I say. But he was, you know, you said 20 years there, and God, that's like, that's a lifetime for some people. And you know, it's kind of it's an end of an era. Like it's sad in one way. You know what I mean? It's the end of an era. And I mean, yesterday it feels like yesterday that we were, you know, talking out on 13 years of age, the two of us. And it feels like this morning, you know, that we were winning minors at 21, and now here we are at his retirement. You know, so it's just things go so quickly. Excuse me. So there's a huge appreciation on my part for having him, you know, in my life at that time, let's say, and on the teams that I was on, because without him, I certainly wouldn't have won what I won.
Yeah, what a player. Unfortunately, we're basically out of time, James, and there are two quarterfinals to preview. We will, I think it's totally worth getting your memories of Gerlach Nan's baseball machine, though, in fairness. We wouldn't have got that if we went too deep on these quarterfinals. Dublin against Cork, Tipperary against Waterford. What are you most looking forward to this weekend, and how do you see them going?
I'm really looking forward to see how Tipperary will go against the Waterford running game. Waterford have good momentum at the moment, and I think that they've set the blueprint for Liam Sheedy's defence. So I'd like to see what Liam Sheedy and his team bring, you know, after the Limerick debacle to a Waterford team who have great energy and to a Waterford crowd who have great, you know, momentum at the minute. So I'm looking forward to that battle. I'm also looking forward to how Dublin cater for Cork's movement. I'm interested to see how Matty Kinney, you know, will try and combat their forwards who are going well at the moment. And, you know, they're two very interesting games. And, like, games nowadays are extremely hard to call. I've got the two Galway games wrong, obviously, but I do think in this instance, I think Tip will shade Waterford, and I think Cork will shade Dublin.
Right, very good. Well, enjoy the weekend's hurling, James. We'll chat to you again next week.
Thank you, guys.
The football pod with Paddy and Andy.
The young guy on it, it was on the under 20s last year. They turned it up to me halfway through the game because you're too old. I was like,
he was back. You're his coach.
Tell me you dropped him.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.